Mandel.
Let's give a big hand for the pastors that, you know, spoke their word and testimony from their heart. Don't forget those children out there. Grab one of these. You know, one of the things that I'm very grateful for is the growth. If we're not growing, what are we doing? Every day we should be coming to that place of saying, I count all that I know as dung so that I would know you the more. Never reach that place to where we think we got the end answer. We never have the end answer. Revelation is constantly increasing. We're always in growing. You know, truth, you have to ask yourself, it abounds. That means one day I thought this was truth. And then I learned that there's more truth on top of that. And then I learned that there's more truth on top of that. That's growth. And I believe 2018, we're reaching a jubilee year. A jubilee year, not only on our carnal nature, but I also believe that it's a spiritual nature. You know, God says, He's our gold and He's our silver. I brought that one verse where, you know, the apostles saw the lame man at the gates of the temple and they said, silver and gold I don't have, but what I do have, rise up and walk. And they had the presence of God with them. And I believe that's what God is saying in this hour. I want a tabernacle, a dwelling place, not made by hands, by man, but made by God. And I truly believe that He wants to pour His glory, His presence out on His chosen ones. Not all are called chosen. All are called, but not all are called chosen. And that's the question. I believe everyone that hears my voice, hears the voice here, is a chosen one. You're chosen. You are chosen. You might not feel like you're chosen, but you're chosen. No matter what your circumstances are, you're chosen. You're chosen to have a relationship with God. You know, while we were in worship, there was a lot of prophetic words and visions going on. And one of the things that the Lord showed me with the wisdom of the interpretation was, I believe that there are a lot that have heard God and are walking with white garments on. But God is desiring for us to know Him, not just heard of Him or heard Him. There's a difference, and I'm going to share that today. But to know Him, to see Him, and when you know Him this way and you see Him, then He clothes you with a garment white that is dipped in blood. You know, how many of us heard that saying that we were covered in the blood of the Lamb? Are we? Have we reached that place where He dipped our garment in that blood? We have to come to a place of knowing Him the more. And I truly believe it's like a mandate now. If we don't come to that place, it's almost being left behind. I don't want to be left behind. I want to grow and walk with God. I want to grow and walk with Him. I want to know Him the more so that He protects us. He's building an army. And that army was shown in a vision that they were covered in blood. And they were victorious. And it didn't matter. God said, go, and they went through valleys and hills, mountains. They went. I believe right now in my heart that God wants us to know Him the more. Job was brought up earlier, and I kind of giggled because I said, oh, I'm in Job today. Because I want to share something about Job. I believe Job was one who wore a white garment.
He heard God. He heard of God. He heard of God. But you know what? I believe this is the year of Job. Now, Job went through some troubles. Satan came to God and said, let me buffet him. God was like, all right, because he knew he was going to bring something out of Job. You know, God loves those who he chastens. Don't ever deny the chastening of the Lord. You have to look at it as a blessing. We need to change the way we think. In the spirit, I say this many, many times, in the spirit, it is opposite to what you think. For example, how many of us like chastening? When bad things come on you and you got a hardship ahead of you and you got these things that are bothering you and afflicting you and it's an inconvenience, who enjoys it? Not me. That's the nature of us. That's the nature of our soul. That's the nature of wickedness. But to know the truth says this chastening is from God. He loves those who he chastens. So I'm going to rejoice in this because I know that he's going to turn all things around for the good to those who love him. They are ones who are in the white garments dipped in blood. They're the ones in this last day as God is calling to this place, a place with him. And I believe to do great signs, wonders, and miracles. I truly do. I believe God is going to pour out his glory on earth through us, through those that have their white garments dipped in blood, in the spirit. And the ones that have their garments dipped in blood are the ones who see him. The ones who know him a way where your heart doesn't waver, like the one who we follow, the prophet Jesus, the one who said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Or you have no authority over me unless my Father in heaven has given it to you. His garment was dipped in blood. You know, when God says, get away from me, I never knew you, you worker of iniquity. But Lord, Lord, we did all these things. I truly believe they were individuals with white garments on, doing the work of the Lord. They heard of him. But God wanted to say, I want to see red garments. I want to see white garments dipped in my blood. I'm going to see this. I hope and pray that we can get this image in us so that we can say to ourselves, am I dipped in this blood? Am I dipped in the blood of the Lamb? Now, Revelation is coming out deeper and deeper every year that we are growing. And God is revealing more and more of his glory and his presence, far beyond what our minds can comprehend or imagine. And we're growing. We're growing in him and him in us. And we're becoming one. That was the greatest desire of Jesus. Father, let them be one as we are one. That was his desire. That was his last testimony. Father, let them be one as we are one. I believe it's the end time call. I believe it's our call that we become one with him. But the only way to become one with him is to know him in a way that we see him. Job knew him. Until the end. I got a verse here that I want to share. It's in Job. It's in Job chapter 42. It says, after God began to say, where were you when I put the stars in the heavens and I put the ring around Leviathan's nose and all. How many have heard God's little rebuke to Job when Job was in his whining state where we all get to? Right? And God was like, where were you? Where were you? You don't even know me. You can't even see my glory, my majestic power, my omnipotent, I hope I'm pronouncing this right, being. Do we really see God for who he is? Do we have a fear of the Lord? I believe this is the beginning of a foundation. In order for the habitation of God to dwell in, we need to be able to see him for who he is. And if we can't see him, he's not going to dwell with us. You can say all the prayers you want, and I'm going to tell you right now, they're going to go on deaf ears. And I mean this very much, with all my heart. Now, I believe that there is credit given to an individual who has lived a righteous life, who've done the best that they could possibly do based on the knowledge that was given to them, based on their surroundings, their teachings, whatever it might be. I believe that there is a white garment there for them. I truly do. At this point, because I can't say, Lord, why would you not, based on the circumstances, grant them grace? God's not that way. I believe he's a merciful God, a loving God, a God who cares. He loves us before we even knew him. But there's a special place for chosen ones. And I believe Job was one of those chosen ones. And I believe you are one of those chosen ones too. Ones that say, I want to dip your robe in blood. I don't want you just to have a white garment. That place is filled already. I want to fill my place over here. I want to fill my army. I want to fill an end time harvest. I want to fill a place of who are warriors or victorious in me. I want to show my glory on earth. Now, if you asked yourself, are you one of those? Would you love to see God do something miraculous in your life where you walk the streets and people actually hear your word and repent? When you walk the streets and you pass out a prayer cloth or you give someone a prayer or you say, I'll pray for you, and then watch heaven work on your behalf because you have access to that throne room. I know you have that heart. If you didn't have that heart, you wouldn't be hearing this word right now. So I look at that as you're chosen. Only those that have an ear will hear. Let me share something here. Job went through a good chastening. First of all, you got to understand the history of Job. Job was considered a righteous man, like Pastor Kurt said earlier. You know, Satan came to God saying, have you choose one of your servants? So obviously he was one of his servants, a righteous man, and one who had a white garment on. And God knew, I want to draw Job closer to me. I want Job. I love him so much. I want him drawn closer to me. So God used Satan and said, yeah, but just don't kill him. And so all of a sudden, at the very end, after all the plagues and all the persecution and all that other stuff, all the friends judging him, saying, oh, what kind of righteous man are you? Because you should be walking in blessings. You should be, you know, you had everything. What did you do, Job? Did you do something bad? Kind of almost wanted to judge him in the sense that he did something bad. But Job didn't do anything bad. He didn't do anything wrong. Are you like Job today? If you are and you got some things coming on you, start praising him. I hope you begin to see the end of this message, because he wants to dip your white robe in blood, the lamb's blood. And I'm going to tell you right now, when your robe is dipped in lamb's blood, your authority goes higher. I shared earlier that there are rankings, just like in the natural. There are rankings in the spirit. Job goes like this. After God got done
saying, who are you and where were you when I put the stars in the heavens? And began to show his majestic glory. Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that you can do everything, and that no purpose of yours can be withheld from you. You asked, who is this who hides counsel without knowledge? Therefore I have uttered what I did not understand, things too wonderful for me, which I did not know. Do you see where Job is getting to? Job is getting to the point where I can't comprehend what you're doing. I can't fathom or comprehend. And then he says, listen, please, and let me speak. You said, I will question you, and you shall answer me. I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear. This is Job. Job is saying, I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eyes see you. Therefore, I despise myself and repent. And then it says, and so it was, after the Lord has spoken these words to Job, that he began to start saying to the ones who judged him and his enemies and all that other stuff, he says that he's going to come and begin to rebuke them. And then it says here, so I don't know how to pronounce these words, they're the Shunites and the Sophars and the Ammonites, went and did as the Lord commanded them, for the Lord has accepted Job. And the Lord restored Job's losses when he prayed for his friends. Indeed, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Then all his brothers and all his sisters and all that have been acquainted before came to him and ate food, blah, 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 blah. And then it also speaks about how these others, says, now therefore take for yourself seven bulls and rams, go servant Job, and offer up yourself a burnt offering. And my servant Job shall pray for you, for I will accept him, lest I deal with you according to your folly. When Job was accepted to the fact that he was able to see God's glory, God began to accept Job's prayers. I truly believe, and I don't know if you're like me, but I don't want to have to just pray in the air. I don't want to just have to throw my prayers up and hope that they stick. If I'm going to serve God, and if I'm going to have a relationship with God, I want to offer my prayer to him. And I want him to answer. Whether, no, you can't, and you're not ready right now, or yes, here it is. I truly believe God honors and he adores your heart and the desire of your heart. That's our makeup in him. There's two ways that I believe God is separating right now. There's a relationship in the mind, and then there's a relationship with the heart. We spoke about this many times. And I believe by hearing God, it was the relationship with the mind. What you think you need to do, what you think you should do, what you think. And then you work that way too. I got to do this because that's the way it should be done and that's the right thing to do. And I think and I think and I think and I keep on thinking. And I'm going to serve you thinking. I heard. But when we see him, I believe we operate in the desires and the hopes of our heart. When we pray, we operate in the desires of our hope. And when we see him, something happens. We begin to know truth. You know, I thank God for giving me a foundation in my heart because, hey, troubles are going to come. How many people would agree on this one? And they're not going to stop. They're going to keep banging at our door every day. But it's how we handle them.
Are we handling them on our own, or are we seeing God with us? Are we seeing God walk with us? Listen, the first thing the natural soul wants to do is to condemn you. What did happen with Job? The natural soul, because he heard of God, began to start condemning him. Not only did he condemn himself because he's searching, Lord, what did I do wrong, basically, but he sent others to start condemning him. His friends, what did you do wrong? Oh, what did you do wrong? Hey, what did you do wrong? How many of us heard this so far? What did you do to get this all flared up? What did you do? What did you do? I'm not even going to judge anything at this point in my life. And be like one of those Job friends where God smacked them around for trying to judge according to what God's plans were. And then God belittled them and said, now go sacrifice some stuff to Job. And have Job pray for you. Because I'm going to answer Job's prayers now because he sees me and you only heard me. How many people are grabbing this? You know, I want to share. In 2018, I'm going to tell you right now, I am determined to show you God in ways that you have never comprehended. Because we were brought in a tradition of a knowledge to kind of know him. In a way of, I heard him. But if we know him, how are we going to handle the next attack, the next downfall, the next disappointment, the next burden, the next problem, the next issue? How are we going to handle it? How are we going to handle the future when, let's say, we already went through a storm? Are we going to have compassion on those who came against us? Or are we going to look for vengeance in our own way and in our own hand? Or do we give it to God? Do we say, vengeance is mine, save the Lord? Or, hey, I'm going to take care of it on my own. And then twist it around and say, well, God gave us the resources on this earth to bring justice to ourselves. Or could we let the whole supernatural realm handle the whole thing? I don't want to bring an accusation against my enemies ever again. I want God to fight my battles. I want to live in the realm of the Spirit to the point where my garment is dipped in blood and heaven knows who I am. And God smites my enemies. I want to walk around in the kingdom of God, which is righteousness, peace, and joy, and never come out. And dwell in that secret place and let God handle my future. Because when God handles something for you, it doesn't come back. It doesn't haunt you. It doesn't reinvent itself. It's done. It's over. It's kaput. And then you can move on to bigger and brighter and greater things. And not only do I think God handles your enemies, but what happened with Job? Everything was restored, triple, quadruple. The year of Jubilee. But I believe we're only going to get the year of Jubilee if we get our garments dipped in blood. Spiritually speaking, when we get to the point where we see God and his glory and begin to praise him and thank him for all that he is doing. Look, I don't like pain. I don't like it. I don't like physical pain. I don't like mental pain. And I don't like spiritual pain. I look at myself as a very patient man. I've dealt with a lot of annoyances and pains, and I spoke a message about the hidden pain too. The pain that is inside that you just can't reach peak joys and peak peaces and peak righteousness for some reason or another, and you can't explain it because it's hidden. Something's there we can't identify, and we're not bringing that exceedingly abundant beyond joy. We're stuck. How many people have ever felt that way? Like, you know that there's more joy. You know that there's more peace. What's wrong? Why do I feel bleh? Has anyone ever felt bleh? And you just don't know what the bleh is? It's that hidden pain. But God can take away that hidden pain when we see Him. We need to begin to see Him. Now, moving forward, when God starts doing things in our life, we can begin to apply the truth that has been given to us and say to ourselves, God leads a righteous person's footsteps. Let's take these simplistic things that we heard of, which we know of, but we really never see it, and begin to really apply it in our hearts to say, wait a minute. First of all, I didn't do anything wrong. That's the first place I go. I completely bring myself to a place of being blameless. I look and I say, well, you know what? I did that, and I didn't do it intentionally. I didn't have a motive. I didn't plan it. It just happened out of ignorance, and I know God always looks at ignorance with a blind eye. How many people agree with that one? He don't judge you when you're ignorant. He don't. That's why He says it's better not to know me than to know me and be lukewarm. If you don't know Him, obviously that's ignorance. So He says, it's better. It's better to be ignorant. But now that you know, that's a different story. So most of the time, I'm going to be honest with you, I live a life in ignorance. I'm an ignorant individual. I live myself in ignorance. But when circumstances come, I look back and I say, could I have done things differently? Yes. Now I'm no longer ignorant. You better not play that card again. You can't play the ignorant card, not in the eyes of God. But I learn from it and I become not ignorant anymore. But at the same time, most of my life I live in ignorance, and in the eyes of God, I'm looked upon as righteous in His eyes. I'm opened. I'm trying to live a life transparent. And I want all that God has for me, and I want to know Him the more. So I'm trying to lead a righteous life. Not a good life, a righteous life. The difference between the two is I'm not thinking. I am following the law that is written on my heart. How many people know that one? That's God. That's God that dwells. That's God. That's God's righteousness. He has given a law in each and every body, and it's called your heart. You follow that, you embrace it, and then you walk that life with Him. You're righteous. That's what makes a righteous person, when you follow your heart with God. And then there's that issue where you got to fight the fears and the worries, because God's going to call you to do things, and He's going to give a passion in your heart that's going to go against the things of the world, but you got to continue to abide by your heart. You got to keep following your heart despite all the judgment and the accusations and the laws that are written out there in the world. For example, let's say your wife is having a baby. I mean, she's having a baby in the car. Are you going to drive the speed limit because the law says? Or are you just going to say, God, let's go, boom, because I got to get her to the hospital. My heart is telling me if I don't, I'm going to have like a big mess on my new car front seat. How many people are like that? Are you going to listen? Oh, it's 55 miles an hour. I'm going to drive. No, I'm going to drive 155 miles. I'm going to push the gas pedal all the way to the floor. I'm going to break some laws. And I'm even going to be like rude. My wife is having a baby. And I'm going to just like make a big noise and everything else. That's following your heart. Wouldn't you agree? You know what God is saying? Yeah. Yeah. well done, my faithful servant. You got that baby where it needed to go, and you saved a life, and you didn't have a big mess in the car, and I'm so proud of you. Now, that's the simplest, funny way of seeing God, but you followed your heart, and you put away what the laws said. Sometimes we have to just live and live and live and live in that heart's place, because that's the life of God. In that, He's going to reward you and show you more of Him. I know recently, a couple years, in the eyes of God, recent, a blink is like seconds, and it's a couple years for me. But I've been making a determination to live in my heart. Despite what people might think, say, I don't care anymore. Because I want a life. How many people feel the same way I do? You're going to be bound by what people think and say and all that other stuff, or you're going to live by your heart. You know, I believe that there are people in here that have things laid heavy on their heart that they want to do, and they're allowing the influence of the world in general hold you back from going forward. You might have to be a risk taker, but you're walking with God. And you got to walk with God. That's what makes the white garment dipped in the blood of the Lamb. And I truly believe as we move forward in the year of 2018, He's looking for a people who will forsake everything and follow Him. But know Him where you see Him. See His attributes. See His glory. Know Him. Understand who God is. You know, a lot of times we have a hard time deciphering whether it's God or us. But I don't want you to get so caught up trying to figure it out. Because God knows that we're little babies. We're little babes. We're little babes in Him. If you need a witness, call one of us pastors in here, and we'll try to witness to what your heart is saying, because we truly want to hear God confirm what He is saying in you. Not our own agenda, but what He is saying in you. But if you don't have access to us, and there's some way or another you want to walk that road alone, pity on you. But if you want to, He doesn't hold you if you're trying to walk your heart. He doesn't count it against you. He looks at you as a little child and He smiles and says, oh, you're so funny and cute and lovable because you're trying to see Me. Are you going to trip? Are you going to fall? Yes. But you get back up and keep following your heart. That's knowing Him. That's seeing Him. We got to live. How many of us want to live? I mean, truly want to live. I made decisions in my life to eliminate all the nag factors. Because the nag factors, you know, you have choices in your life whether or not you want to keep the nag factors or not. How many of us have nag factors? You know what they are, right? They're there. Why do we continue to leave them there when we have choices to get rid of them? Make a decision, make a choice, move on, and never look back. We got to do it. That's putting yourself in the kingdom of God. I believe before you can build a foundation, you have to put yourself in the place. It's going to be very hard to build a house for God to dwell in if you don't put yourself in the place. It's like building a house. Where do you want to build it? Do you want to build it at the shore, or you want to build it on a mountain, or do you want to build it in a flood zone? I don't want to build my house in a flood zone. You know, when next thing you know, oh, but the taxes are really cheap. I don't care. You know, when it rains, next thing you know, the levee breaks and I lost my home. And then I got to deal with all these nag factors. No, you find that perfect place before you build your home. I want us to hear what God is saying. Let us not start building yet. Let us get into the place. Where? What land do you want? You want it on a mountain? You want it in the air? I don't care. Pick one. And that place, I'm going to tell you right now, has joy and peace and righteousness. I didn't do anything wrong. I'm going back to my ignorance, and I'm going to look at my life. And I hope you do everything like me in ignorance. And then when you start getting wiser, you don't do those things in ignorance. You do them in wisdom. You look back, reflect, I did this in the past. And where did it get me? All right, I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm going to continue to walk according to my heart. And I'm going to learn from my mistakes. And I'm going to keep looking for Him. I'm going to look for God. I'm going to keep seeing His glory. Because He's going to pull you out of your mess. I went through a lot of messes in my life. A lot of messes. I probably, because I'm called, I wouldn't doubt it if I went through every bit of mess you went through. And every little bit of mess you went through, and every little bit of mess you went through, and I got everybody's mess under my belt. Yep, I'm equipped. I know your mess. I am rooted, grounded, and equipped with everybody's mess. God loves me because I learned from it, and I'm moving forward. Where are we going to build our house? I like two places. I like the mountains and I like the shore. Who don't like those places? I didn't see it again. Good. Who loves those places? Okay. Let us build our house on the mountain. Let us build it at the shore. Let us build our home. So when you go to find your land and you're on the mountain, kick off all those ugly trees and stuff. Start clearing it out. When you're at the beach, make sure you got a nice sand bed in front of you, good neighbors. Clean your land. Get rid of all the nag factors so that we can build this place for God to dwell in. If we're lacking peace and we're lacking joy and we're lacking righteousness in the place, it's going to be very, very hard for us to build the house of God. He wants to dwell with you with joy. I believe this year, you've been asking things in your heart. And God is working things out. And it might not go the way that you expect it. But understand, when God does something in your life, He takes away the guilt and shame of your decision. Because God doesn't want to dwell with condemnation. If you handled it in your own way, you're going to feel guilty about it. How many people are agreeing with what I'm saying? I know that there are some things in my life that I'm being very patient about. And I don't mind being patient about it because in God's timing, it'll be perfect. And I won't have any guilt or shame or anything because it was all done in His timing. How many people are understanding? Amen. We want to live in God, and God knows how to take away guilt and shame. He knows how to bring peace and joy. And I believe this year is like a jubilee year. Because of our faithfulness and us continuing to grow in Him, desiring to seek Him, to know Him the more, I believe our lives are just going to be like Job. Is the pressures and the torment and the accusations and all those things going to come? Yes. For one, Job forgave those who judged him. So we need to forgive those who judge us. Everybody. We have to find forgiveness in our heart to forgive those who have judged us or came against us in one way or another. How many people are agreeing? You got to do it. You got to say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. No matter what it is, those people who have called aggravation in your life, you got to find a way to forgive them and maybe even pray for them. I'm not saying that they'll come around. Maybe they will. But it doesn't matter. God's looking at your heart and he's seeing that you're having compassion on those. And let God work with them. Give it to God. It's kind of like giving prayers, giving it to God. And then see his glory. You got to see that he put the stars in the heavens. He set the foundation of this world. He put breath in you. He put a life inside of you that we're learning to live. He's given us talents and he's given us the abilities. He put five fingers on our hands. We got to begin to start seeing all the good rather than the bad. We need to change the way we're thinking in this area. It's simple, but it's entirely hard. When someone hurts you, it's hard to forgive. Amen? When you expect someone to be an apple and they're an orange, it's almost impossible to get over it. I like to go up to that person and have them confess. Please just tell me you're an apple, please. If you're an apple, tell me you're an apple. If you're an orange, just tell me you're an orange. So I know what I got to expect. I don't want to have to like hope that you're something and you're not. And finding out that I'm hoping forever and you're never that. Just please confess to me. Are you ever going to change or not? No. Okay, great. Now you're an apple or an orange, whatever you made that determination. And it actually sets you free. You might have to do that. You might have to go to those nag factors in your life and ask, is there a chance that you'll be able to see my viewpoints, understand who I am, maybe hear me? How many people got those individuals in their life that you just want to like cry out to and hope that they hear you, but they just don't hear? Offer them advice knowing that it's good advice and it'll lead them down a good road and they just don't want to hear it. Are you going to listen to me or not? Please let me know. You know, when you have this form inside of you that you're expecting a certain circumstance to turn out, you might be waiting a whole long time, and it may never, ever come to fruition. But when you know what it is, it's easier to let it go and become free. This helps establish peace and joy in your life. I'm just trying to give you some nuggets here to establish peace and joy in your life. If you know what it is, it's a lot easier to find peace and joy than if you don't know what it is and you're expecting something and it never happens. How many people got that one? Good. And then this way, it'll bring us to that place to have the garment dipped in that blood of the Lamb. I want to close and ask, I think Pastor Sam, I think he's got something he wants to share. So I'm going to ask him to come on up. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise for Pastor Sam. He's going to close us. I want to bless everyone. I want to also share these children's prayer cloths. And I emphasize children prayer cloths. And if you need some or you want some or you know some children in some need or what have you, please, I want you to pass them out. I'm going to grab a couple of them because I know a couple of kids that need some help. Angels go with these. We've had many, many testimonies. And I might not know the problem, but heaven does. And heaven knows how to heal those problems. And so I just rely on the fact that heaven knows the issue and the problems, and heaven's going to take care of it. I said earlier, let God fight our battles. God needs to fight our battles. In Scripture, it says that all the time. I'm your God. Let me fight your battle. Blah, blah, blah. If God is not fighting our battles, we don't see him. I threw a lot of good keys out there. lot of good nuggets. I hope we have eyes to see these nuggets, because he's preparing us a place, and I want to dwell with him. Amen? Amen.
Let's give the Lord a hand of praise.
Amen. Just want to, Pastor and I have a joke about this all the time, about God and the devil and Job, because the devil didn't go to God. God went to the devil and said to the devil, "Consider my servant Job." Why did God go to the devil? Because remember this, all of our days are counted by God. There's nothing unexpected that happens in God. God knew what was going to happen before it happened. And ready for this? He knows the outcome. It's already finished. It's already done. He had to go to Job. You know, Scripture says that Scripture says that he who began a good work in you, he will be faithful to complete it in him. God's got a plan. He went to the devil because it was time for Job to rise up. It was Job's time. That's all it was. Job did nothing wrong. It was the time. It was that day of his life. Your day has been laid out from one to the day you die. It's laid out. It's already finished. For whom he foreknew, he predestined to become the children of God. Listen, who he foreknew, he predestined to become the children of God. That's the whole goal here. To become God's children. That's the whole goal. And God knew on day one that on this day, 3,240,000, whatever day it is, this was going to happen. But he also knew the outcome. And it's good. All things work together for good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. Amen? And if God is for you, who could be against you? We have to live on these promises. Keep getting into these messages over and over and over and over. I can't say it enough. It's life. You're not eating until you're listening to truth. You're not really eating. You're feeding your stomach, not feeding your spirit. We eat food every day, right? Why don't we feed our spirit every day? You have to feed your spirit more than your stomach. Feed your spirit. Have God build a foundation in you that cannot waver, no matter what happens. You know that it was supposed to happen. There is nothing that happens. It was a mistake. Didn't you see this coming? God saw it coming. But again, he also saw the outcome, and it's good. It's all good. Amen? Please come out Wednesday nights. It's been great every time. This week, John came out, Tim, Kurt, Pastor, myself. It's just a great night. You know, the flow Wednesday nights is different. Sometimes it's meat, sometimes it's milk. It goes back and forth, but it's always the right moment, the right word at the right time. And we see a lot of fruit happening. The nights go by so fast. Tim's response is always, "That was fast." Every Wednesday night. I can't believe it's over already. Every Wednesday he says the same thing. "It's over already?" It's quick. But it's a great night to feed your spirit. We got to start eating and drinking him. Amen? Father, I just ask that you put this word in our spirit, that you allow us to know that every day has been counted by you, and there's no mistakes, there's no surprises to you. You have ordained our lives and predestined us, and all things work together for good. Let us live in this joy, in this peace, knowing who you are, having a fear of you and not of man, and not of what man can do to us, but what you can do to us. They can do nothing to us unless you allow it. No one can lay a finger on us unless you allow it, Father. And you do allow it to bring us to a place of humility so we can reach another level in you. Amen. Have a great week, guys.